RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, for listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. The Night Chief urges employers not to pay ransom to Abu Sayyaf. First Indonesian restaurant will be opened soon in Russia. Now the news in detail. The government urged the employers of Indonesian sailors held captive by Abu Sayyaf group not to pay ransom demanded by the militants in exchange for the hostages. Chief of Indonesian Military Tenai General Gatot Nurmantio said it on Tuesday that the companies operating the vessel must support the government's stance to strictly refuse giving money to the militant group. He remarked that if the government insists on not paying, then none of them should pay because as a nation it could be exploited. He asserted that Indonesia and the Philippines governments have a robust commitment to put an end to criminal acts in the Philippines Sulu waters, adding that the operation to secure the release of the remaining 9 hostages would continue indefinitely. Furthermore, General Gatot believed the Philippine government under President Rodrigo Duterte is committed to ending the movement of Abu Sayyaf militants operating in the southern part of the Philippines. For the first time in history, Indonesian restaurant will be opened in Russia. It is planned that there are 2 Indonesian restaurants to be opened in Russia and most likely the number will continue to grow. This was stated by Indonesian Ambassador to Russia, Wahid Supriyadi, on the sidelines of Indonesian update on August 17, 2016 in Moscow, Russia. Besides, Ambassador Wahid also said that the opening of those restaurants is one of the representative contributions of Indonesia, which has established good relations with many parties in Russia. Indonesia's limit of continental shelf is getting increased more than 4,000 km squares. Particularly on Indonesian jurisdiction, you see territory of Nangro Aceh Darussalam province. It is based on the approval of United Nations through Commission on the Limits of Continental Shelf by receiving Indonesian submission on its sovereignty rights at the sea level of 200 miles of extended continental shelf. It can be done legally by Indonesia as stated of United Nations Convention on the Law of Sea, UNCLOS 1982, which has been ratified to Regulation No. 17, 1985. In response to this case, Deputy 1 of the Maritime Sovereignty Deputy at Indonesian Coordinating Ministry, Arif Hafaz Ogroseno, at Indonesian Institute of Science LIPI, giving appreciation of Sciences of LIPI Sarwono Award, LSA, and holding Sarwono Memorial Lecture MLS in 2000 at the LIPI Pavilion in Jakarta on Tuesday said that Indonesia has wider limits of continental shelf that can be explored for the development of Indonesian maritime. He also appreciated for the role of researchers of LIPI who convinced United Nations to approve wider limits of continental shelf.
Konvensi yang sering dijuluki sebagai Constitution of the Ocean, Konstitusi Kelautan ini, telah menjadi dasar hukum kuat bagi Indonesia.
The Constitution of the Commission on the Limits of Continental Shelf has become the base of continental law for Indonesia to control its sea among islands as an archipelago state and exclusive economic zone, and continental set over 200 continental squares. Even Indonesia deserves the sovereignty of sub-continental set over 200 continental squares if Indonesia can prove its position at extended continent self. In this case, I am proud of Lipi's researchers who convinced the UN about it, and Indonesia has continental sub as wide as Madura Island in the western territory of Sumatra Island. Moreover, Arif Habas Ogreseno explained that the serious exploration of Indonesia's maritime potential will bring about economic development for Indonesia. He also said that Indonesia must be able to possess human resources to explore maritime sector. In commemorating the 71st Indonesian Independence Day, Indonesian Foreign Ministry held a cultural event Indonesian Channel at the Taman Ismail Marzuki in Jakarta on Tuesday. Director for Information and Media Siti Sophia said at the press briefing on Tuesday that the performers were 60 students from 41 countries. They are participants of Indonesian Art and Culture Fellowship Program, VSBI.
Ini performance akan terdiri dari 60 pemuda dari 41 negara.
The performers consisted of 60 students from 41 countries. The fellowship program has begun last May. They have attended art and cultural courses in Paris studios. The performance was entitled Thousand Island Made of Ribbons. The Foreign Ministry has held the program since 2003 to promote the Indonesian culture and to widen the people-to-people relationship, especially the transit between the Indonesian and foreign youth. Siti Sophia further said the young people have learned the Indonesian art and culture in Bali, Surabaya, Nis, Japa, Makassar in South Sulawesi, Padan in West Sumatra, and Yogyakarta. They come from Azerbaijan, Brunei, Cambodia, Canada, China, Czech Republic, France, Vanuatu, Germany, and Japan. Executive Director PT Dirgantara Indonesia, Budi Santoso, said that and 219 aircraft, which is jointly designed with the National Institute of Aeronautics and Space, LAPAN, is set to commence its first flight testing in November 2016. Budi said in Bandung on Tuesday that the flight test could only commence when the structural test had been completed, and such tests will be completed in November. He also pointed out that the testing will entail other testing and certification of all aircraft components to ensure that the aircraft is fit to fly. He admitted that the aircraft is supposed to be flight tested much earlier, but such testing needs to be delayed as there are several administrative blunders. Budi remarked that the production contracts will be signed after the prototype has been certified as fit to fly. Public Works and Housing Ministry will develop a number of infrastructure projects to support the tourism sector in Lake Toba, North Sumatra. One of these infrastructure is the construction of toll road connecting Medan and Tebing Tinggi. The Minister Head for Regional Infrastructure Development, Hermanto Dardak, said in Jakarta on Tuesday that the toll road is divided into seven sections. The construction of Section 6 is expected to be completed by the end of 2017. Medan Tebing Tinggi toll will be the first toll project completed. Herman added that the government will also expand the outer ring road in Samosir Island. The project is currently in a bidding stage. Herman further stated that once the toll road construction operates, the drive from Medang to Lake Toba will be faster. The distance from Medang to Toba is 180 kilometers. The toll road will shorten the distance to just 116 kilometers. The last item, Indonesia continues to push for the finalization of Code of Conduct, COC, in the disputed South China Sea amid rising tension in the disputed waters. This was stated by Foreign Ministry spokesperson Arman Atanasir in Jakarta on Tuesday. He said that the implementation of Code of Conduct is important due to the rising tension in the South China Sea. Responding to reports on China's aim for the document to be concluded by mid-2017, he affirmed that Indonesia wants discussion to be finalized sooner. He added that involved parties are obligated to stick to the time frame rejected by China. Discussion on the COC between China and ASEAN, of which four of its member states are claimant to the disputed region, had been taking place for over a decade, with little to no progress in creating concrete results on the Biden set of rules. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, a commentary to the entitled Russian Attack to Syria. Russian attack against rebels in Syria. on Wednesday was a vote of support for not only the regime of Hafez Assad administration but also suppression for the West. The attacks were carried out by using bombers Tu-22M3 backfire and Su-34 fullback that took off from the airbase Hamedan in Iran. For the West, the step taken by Moscow was shocking and in questions. Even though Moscow supported the government in Syria, using Iranian airbase by Moscow would bring about a serious question. Why? So far, Tehran has been launched the political enemy of Washington and Israel. The use of Iranian base by Russia to launch airstrike in Syria is certainly surprising the United States and its allies in the region. Russian attack against the rebel site triggers serious concerns of Moscow and Tehran in connection with onslaught attacks carried out by rebels in the city of Aleppo more recently. An official of the United States claimed that the Syrian government is not trying to win the battle to maintain Aleppo and surrounding areas. Then the question arises, what is the impact of Russian attack against the rebels in Aleppo? Indeed, the constellation is clear enough. The United States and its allies support the rebels and want the transfer power in Syria, while Russia and Iran support the regime of Hafez Assad administration. At least with the Russian surprising action by using Iranian airbase, Moscow and Tehran wanted to send a signal to the United States and the West that the two military powers need to be reckoned by the supporters of the rebel side. From the geopolitical constellation marked by a show of force, it can be assumed that the political conflict in Syria is likely to continue for a long time because both parties still have strong support. This question will come true if the United States and Moscow manage to halt talks, at least by reducing political tension between both sides. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to a daily segment of Today in History. We start from an event on August 19, 1945, Ho Chi Minh occupied Hanoi, Vietnam. Vietnam's independence was brief, however, as the French ignored Vietnam's declaration and reasserted their rights to the colony. On August 19, 1945, after the surrender of the Japanese in the World War II, Ho Chi Minh made his declaration of independence that borrowed language from US and French documents of freedom. This became the Armed Revolution. Outwardly an ascetic, Ho Chi Minh made his declaration of independence that borrowed language from US and French documents of freedom. Diminutive and delicate, Ho was a leader who lived a Spartan existence, upholding the ideals of egalitarian revolution, living in a simple two-room building on the grounds of the former imperial palace. On September 2, 1945, Ho Chi Minh proclaimed the independence of the Democratic Republic of Vietnam in Hanoi. On August 1945, PPKI decided 12 ministries and 8 provinces included into the government of Unitary State of Indonesia. One day after the proclamation of independence of the Republic of Indonesia, Indonesian Independence Preparatory Committee, PPKI, which is responsible for forming the government, ratified the Constitution of the Republic of Indonesia. After that, PPKI carry out the election for president and vice president. In this regard, it was unanimously approved Bung Karno as president and Bung Hatta as vice president of the Republic of Indonesia. On August 19, 1945, PPKI set their 12 ministries in the government of the Unitary State of Republic of Indonesia and dividing the region into 8 provinces headed by a governor. The 12 ministries, including the Home Affairs Department, Foreign Affairs Department, Justice Department, Finance Department, Department of Teaching, Education and Culture, and the Department of Defense. While the 8 provinces are, among others, Sumatra, West Java, Central Java, East Java, Sunda Kecil, Maluku, Sulawesi, and Kalimantan. Each province is divided into residency headed by a resident. Governor and resident were assisted by the National Committee of the region. We end today's segment of Today in History with having a look at an event on August 19, 1953, Britain and the United States assisted the overthrow of Mohammad Mossadegh government in Iran. Iranian Prime Minister Mossadegh was overthrown in a joint operation between the US and the United Kingdom. Mossadegh was elected by an absolute majority in parliament, but he made a fatal mistake, which was trying to nationalize the oil companies in Iran, such as British-owned oil company Anglo-Iranian Oil Company. Mossadegh policy causing huge losses to the Anglo-Iranian Oil Company, or currently known the British Petroleum. Responded to the Iranian government policy, Britain then allied with the United States, which also has its own interest to Iran. The United States did not like seeing the proximity of Iran with the Soviet Union. The US CIA agents cooperated with British intelligence M16, carrying out a coup operation. They created the turmoil in Iran to overthrow the Iranian Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh. The coup led by the US CIA and M16, the British intelligence, succeeded in overthrowing Mossadegh and left the Shah regime to become an absolute ruler in Iran. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Focus. Today's focus is about Indonesian government continues to lowering unemployment rate. The Indonesian government keeps trying to lower unemployment rate. The Minister of Manpower, M. Hanif Dakiri, in Jakarta Wednesday, August 17th, stated the government is optimistic to lowering the unemployment rate by performing various strategies and work programs. Moreover, it will be supported with the rises of economic growth, so it efforts to expand employment opportunities and increase the absorption of manpower. Previously, the reduction of the unemployment rate was delivered by President Joko Widodo in his state speech in DPR MPR building on Tuesday, August 16th. According to President, the unemployment rate was successfully reduced to 5.5%. President Joko Widodo invites all of the nation elements to work together to overcome poverty, unemployment, and social inequality. Based on the Central Statistics Agency BPS data in February 2016, the rate of unemployment lowered 7.02 million people, or 5.5% compared to the BPS data in February 2015, which reached to 7.44 million people, or around 5.81%. Hanif Dakiri explained, an effort to lower the unemployment rate become challenge to all parties. The government continues to make business climate to be more conducive. So the investment climate in the country or outside improved so that it can absorb massive number of manpower. According to Dakiri, The Manpower Ministry encourages the investment to be more oriented in labor-intensive investment. Thus, the absorption of employment become preferable. The Ministry of Manpower also keeps optimizing the programs of tackling unemployment and expansion of employment opportunities such as intensive activities, independent manpower, application of appropriate technology, and voluntary manpower. There are also held a job fair and online job fair, as well as placement and protection services of manpower overseas. The Ministry of Manpower also seeking the improvement of manpower competencies through the work training in vocational training center, as well as through the apprenticeship program both in the country or abroad. Meanwhile, Minister of the National Development Planning Bambang Brojonegoro, such was released by Republika Thursday, August 18, 2017, stated the government targeting the open employment rate lowering to 5.3%, while the poverty rate lowering to 9.5% to 10.5% from 10.6%. However, Minister Bambang Brojonegoro added, the wish is not easy to accomplish because the domestic sluggish economic condition still impacts on the absorption of the manpower. That was the focus for today.
Here is a brief read by Rahmana. The government urged the employers of Indonesian sailors held captive by Abu Sayyaf group not to pay ransom demanded by the militants in exchange for their hostages. For the first time in history, Indonesian restaurant will be open in Russia. It is planned that there are two Indonesian restaurants to be open in Russia, and most likely the number will continue to grow. Indonesia's limits of continental shelf is getting increased more than 4,000 km squares, particularly on Indonesian jurisdiction New Sea Territory of Nandur Aceh Darussalam Province. In commemorating the 71st Indonesian Independence Day, Indonesian Foreign Ministry held a cultural event Indonesian Channel at the Taman Ismail Marzuki in Jakarta on Thursday. Executive Director of PT Dirgantara Indonesia Budi Santoso said that an 219 aircraft, which is jointly designed with the National Institute of Aeronautics and Space Lapan, is set to commence its first flight testing in November 2016. Public Works and Housing Ministry will develop a number of infrastructure projects to support the tourism sector in Lake Toba, North Sumatra. Indonesia continues to push for the finalization of Code of Conduct COC in the disputed South China Sea amid rising tensions in the disputed waters. That's news in brief for the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to make a tour to Enggano Island, Stajun. Listener, at the last 71st Independence Day of Republic of Indonesia, 71 flags of Indonesia was flown in Enggano Island, which is the foremost islands in western Indonesia. The raising of the 71 flags is a symbol that Indonesia has been 71 years free from colonialism. And it was chosen Enggano as the place to commemorate 71st Indonesian independence as a momentum to boost the spirit of nationalism and nationality of the people living in the outermost island. The raising of the flag was done in 71 high summits in Engano Island, 6 villages and coast to announce to the world that Engano belongs to Indonesia. Listener, Engano is the outermost island in Indonesia, which is located in Indian Ocean and included the administrative area of Bengkulu Province. This island has natural wealth and beautiful natural potential both inland and underwater. For the coastal tourism, Engano has a very beautiful beach, white and clean sand, which widely stretch along the coast. In addition, there are also many types of colorful fish that can be seen instantly without having to dive because the sea is so clear. So, no wonder if Engano Island is also called as Raja Ampat of Bengkulu. For those who want to travel to Engano Island, there are some beaches you should visit during your trip in Bengkulu. One of them is Kumang Beach, which is located in the corner of Engano Island. Kumang Beach is a cape that consists of rocks and corals that form steep cliffs. In Kumang Beach, there is a unique cave that was formed in one of coral walls. Inside of it, there are lagoons such as a small pond with clear water. The lagoons is the best spot to soak and swim. In addition to enjoy the beauty of the beaches, the tourists are able to surfing. Since the wave in Engano Island is really good to surfing. Listener, to reach Engano, there are two alternative transportations which can be chosen. Through the sea transportation, it takes about 12 to 18 hours depending on weather conditions, starting from the seaport in Bengkulu. If using air transportation, you can take the Pioneer plane from Bengkulu with travel time about 30 to 40 minutes. Unfortunately, there is no hotel or lodging facility in the island. For those who want to stay in the island, you can stay at residence home. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition with the topic of Engano Island. We will deliver some other interesting topics next time. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about Indonesian Air Force Women Day. Thank you.
listener, after obtaining the sovereignty recognition from the Netherlands on December 27, 1987, Indonesia as a republic country, that proclaimed formally on August 17, 1945, regained its civil or military rights. Therefore, that was the exact time for Indonesia to enter a new step as independent and sovereign country for the sustainable nation and state, especially in consolidation and guidance. In regard to this, Indonesian Air Force speeds up the consolidation and guidance process in its environment. This also moved its most woman during the war. This woman did administration job, but there was a woman named Rifiana Arif who controlled the air traffic in the tower. Listener, the historical fact and based on 1945 Constitution Pancasila, an appreciation for this woman's contribution during the independence era, they were promoted military higher ranks. After Indonesia's situation was conducive in the consolidation era in guidance and the airbase organization adjustment in Jakarta, this woman had to take off their ranks and uniforms. To continue the struggle of this woman, Indonesian Air Force established Air Force Women on August 12, 1963. The membership of the organization is integrated in corps that is applied in the Indonesian Air Force. In the beginning of its establishment, Indonesian Woman Air Force is a realization of woman emancipation. The women in Indonesian Air Force were trusted based on their intuition and faith as teachers, administrators, health workers, and today Indonesian Air Force women have no doubt. The whole duties normally done by men in the Air Force are also done by women. Let's just say being airplane engineer, pilot, and provost become their daily duty to serve their country. Happy anniversary, the women of Air Force. Listener, that's today's edition of Miscellany that informs you about Indonesian Air Force Women Day. We meet again next week with another interesting topic. I'm Nita Kusumawati. Sampai jumpa.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we will talk about dangdut genre. Listener, dangdut is a kind of a music genre which is very popular from the lower to the highest class of Indonesian society. Moreover, the most interesting thing is there also an exclusive community or the upper level of Indonesian society who like music, including dangdut music. This is a picture. How dangdut music to be a very famous music genre in the Indonesian society. Well, listener, before continuing the topic, I will entertain you with one of popular dangdut song entitled Tidak Semua Laki-Laki by Basofi Sudirman.
Tidak semua laki-laki bersalah padamu. Contohnya aku mau mencintaimu, tapi mengapa engkau masih ragu? Memang hati yang ku bawa tak sebesar harapanmu, tapi mampu untuk menerangi jiwamu yang sunyi. Tidak semua laki-laki bersalah. Aku mau mencintaimu, tapi mengapa engkau masih ragu? Orang yang kusah sayang. Tidak semua laki-laki bersalah padamu. Contohnya aku mau mencintaimu, tapi mengapa engkau masih ragu?
The song which we've just listened in title, Tidak Semua Laki-Laki Song by Basuki Sudirman. He had served as a governor of East Java, yet it did not deter his singing hobby, especially for dangdut songs. Moreover, Sudirman released Tidak Semua Laki-Laki when he served as a governor of East Java. Sudirman's voice, which blend with this song, became very popular, and it often played in every private radio broadcasting. The song also is frequently sung by other dangdut singers in their performance. The lyric is inseparable from the situation and conditions of women who feel disappointed. Listener, now let's enjoy another dangdut song from Basuki Sudirman entitled Sekedar Bertanya. Happy listening.
Thank you.
listener, Basofi Sudirman has released several dangdut songs before he stopped his career as the state officials. However, the last song we've just listened ended the segment of Music Corner. Thank you for listening, and sampai jumpa lagi.
Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Tidak semua laki-laki bersalah padamu. Contohnya aku mau mencintaimu, tapi mengapa engkau masih ragu? Memang hati yang ku bawa tak sebesar harapanmu, tapi mampu untuk menerangi jiwamu yang sunyi. Tidak semua laki-laki bersalah. Cintaimu, tapi mengapa engkau masih ragu?
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.